Thanks for flying Southwest, and we hope to see you back real soon.
Very, very, very happy that the best sport in the world is back in season.
Feels good every time. Every spin, I screamed louder.
I know we're all football guys and football guys, guys.
Yeah, I'm a football guy.
Jordan dropped Marcus last week, so.
Oh, God, Jordan!
I have a lot to say about this.
So this is the best time of the year for us.
Psych!
Hello.
Hey.
Hey.
How you doing?
How you
good.
Doing?
How are you?
Good. Good.
Good to see you.
See you as well.
Any big plans this weekend?
No.
No?
Not doing anything.
Well, if you're free, hit me up. We should probably hang out.
Yeah, I think I could probably, you know, just swing a quick trip to Chicago. That's
Oh, I'm in Portland. I live here now.
Oh, welcome back.
I've always lived here.
Never left. It's actually just a big lie.
And this is the first of only wedding puns that we'll do the whole podcast. How's everything going?
It's going fine. Bree is overwhelmed. Apparently, everybody's texting her how she's doing, which is probably a thing that you do for all weddings as you check in with the bride. And I'm like, my grandma's asked like twice how I'm doing.
How
and that's it. Like,
Rick, how are you doing?
I'm fine.
That's why.
Oh, right. I guess I should also say all of the ladies at work have also been asking and they're like very excited for me. And I'm just like, I need to get through Thursday because I think that's going to be the day that things actually are busy and hectic. And then just like Friday will be fine. But it's like, I don't know.
Yeah. Like everything that can be done is probably done. So like,
right.
What else do you still have to do?
We just have to set everything up on Thursday, basically.
Oh, okay.
So it's, yeah, like there actually isn't a lot that needs to be done. Actually, I'm glad you're on the call, doctor. My plantar fascia has been flaring up again. I'm just wondering if there's a way that you could maybe quickly amputate my foot. If there's a good way to do that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Do you want to do that before or after the rehearsal?
Let's do it before the rehearsal so I can rehearse walking with a leg.
Sure.
Just one, you know?
For sure.
That makes sense.
Yeah, that does. Yeah, we can do that real quick. Do you want to meet at like 2?
Yeah, that'll be fine.
Okay. Yeah, I think we should be getting down to Eugene by 2-ish.
Okay, perfect.
Okay, I'll just swing by your place. Unless you want to come just do it at the hotel.
Let's do the hotel because I think cleanup will probably be easier.
Yeah. That,
you know, they'll probably do it. Just assume there was a murder.
Also, probably not the first foot that they've found just hanging out.
In a hotel.
Yeah, just one foot, two guys, 1 foot.
God bless. I'm not flexible and I'm trying to tape it up and it's not going well.
This is really good for the OnlyFans.
Yeah. Really this, a great look at my leg here.
It fulfills our required foot quota.
It's true. We haven't had many of those recently.
Yeah, so finally everyone can stop asking to show feet. We're doing it. We get it, guys.
That didn't do any better. I'm gonna have to ask Bree to tape that up for me properly. Okay. I guess that's our intro to the pod. Welcome onto the pod, Andrew, for the first time this year. Team Cole Comet. Andrew, how are you feeling about your fantasy team?
I was feeling pretty shitty, and I'm feeling a lot better after putting up with like 175.
Yeah, you had the second largest margin of victory in Semi-Product's modern era history. So
what's the first?
I'm looking that up now. I thought you would have maybe some, let's see, some explaining to do on that. Largest margin of victory is Luke defeating Tim in 2018 by 102 points. And you then beat Andrew by, or beat Fronik by 95.34. You took down the previous second place holder, which was Fronik defeating Duncan in 2019 by 94 points. So you beat him out by a point and a third. And yeah, Fronik has now had the third largest victory and the second largest defeat. So he did the thing. Does that make Fronik an honorary member of the Jewish community, or are you now a member of the Fronik family? Did you adopt him? Did he adopt you?
I think I legally am now Fronik's dad.
Okay.
I think that's how that works. I was trying to find the bylaws on everything, but there was some issue with like the 100-point cutoff, but I'm pretty sure that I legally own Fronik now.
Perfect. Congratulations on being a grandfather as well.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you. And now, and because of that, and it being Yom Kippur, Fronik has to start fasting at sundown tonight.
Wow, that's very soon.
Yeah, it is. Well, you know, I, as a resident now of Chicago, that happened about 2 hours ago.
Oh, so he, despite living in Oregon, he asked to go by where his dad lives for fasting times.
Okay. Yeah. So if you can walk across the street, take the quesadilla out of his mouth and tell him no eating until tomorrow at sundown, that'd be great.
Perfect. Got it. I'm sure we'll get this out really quick so he can also hear the messaging as well. That's going to be very important.
Okay, cool. Yep. Fronik, sorry, but that's the pause.
Dad says no eating.
Dad says no. Aubrey can eat, but we have to rename her Amon-Ra St. Fronik.
The thing he's going to be mad about is that you didn't name her after an eagle. And that's why he's going to be mad.
I was working on Sunday. So I had just the local game on in the workroom, but I was getting all the updates of when players were scoring touchdowns. And the fact that it was Miles Sanders just absolutely pounding away at the score made me so happy that he was just getting ruined in fantasy by an eagle. That was really great.
That's the thing is Fronik will hit that tipping point where it goes from this isn't fun, and then this isn't fun because my player's doing it, to the point where that line becomes, oh, at least the Eagles are winning really fast.
Yeah, it happened quickly. It was rapid fire.
Your team went from Thursday night looking like you might not score 50 points to putting up 175. Actually, I should, as just a fantasy hashtag analysis, teams that had quarterbacks score less than 5 points were 2-0 last week. Do you think we should start adopting the zero QB policy?
Absolutely. I mean, it works. Okay. We're off to a good start. I highly recommend everyone picking up Tony Romo.
Colin Kaepernick is available.
Colin Kaepernick is available. That's about how much I've been paying attention. Is I can't even think of another retired quarterback.
Roy Aikman.
That's what I was gonna say. I was like, I can't say Tony Romo and Troy Aikman.
Naming TV analysts.
Yeah,
Terry Bradshaw.
Yeah,
Andrew Luck.
There's a guy at the hospital who looks so much like Andrew Luck. He does. He's an X-ray technician, and every once in a while, I'll see him go into a patient room, and he's in scrubs, and he's doing his X-ray thing. But he has the beard. He's like 6'6". He's a big guy, and every single time I see him, I'm like, I wouldn't put it past Andrew Luck to just fade into obscurity and become like an X-ray technician at a random hospital in Illinois.
That absolutely seems like a job that Andrew Luck would do. Andrew Luck also listed at 6'4", but he seems like the guy who would actually be 6'6" and be like, I'm not that tall.
Yeah, I wear shoes. It's probably 6'4" without shoes.
Right. Yeah. I try and keep my balding hair really close so you don't think I'm extra tall or anything. I'm trying to be I slouch. Maybe put me at 6'4".
Maybe I'll sneak a picture of this guy. But man, every time I see him, I'm like, I think Andrew Luck works here.
Have you asked him if he is actually Andrew Luck, or if people ask him if he's Andrew Luck?
No, not yet. Okay. Maybe by my fifth year, when I have a little more clout And I can actually go up to the guy and be like, are you Andrew Luck? I'm Andrew also. It's nice to meet you.
Hi, Andrew. I'm Andrew. Oh, you're not Andrew Luck? This is awkward. You should be. I think you should be. Speaking of your bad quarterback play, and you mentioned being a doctor, concussions were in the news recently. I don't know if you've maybe managed to catch that news.
Just a bit.
So Tua gets a concussion and then lies about it by saying his back hurts. And then the independent neurologist got fired. So I am very sorry that you lost your kind of your side hustle there. That's unfortunate.
Thank you.
What is the NFL concussion protocol like, and how easy is it to lie your way out of having a concussion?
The NFL concussion protocol is actually really simple. There's nobody in that tent. Players go back in the tent. We give them a coloring book and two crayons. We say, just do your thing for 15 minutes and then get back in the game. If they're an important player, right? If they're a Tua, you know, if they're a Jalen Ramsey, you're going to get these guys right the fuck back on the field, because that's who people want to see. Some, third string offensive lineman who's in gets a concussion, like, say, okay, you stay with your coloring book and your crayons for the rest of the game. We have an image to uphold. So there's going to be some overhaul. I think maybe we'll add a babysitter, like a 17-year-old college kid or a high school kid who needs some money before college. Mm-hmm. Hire like a babysitter to watch them while they're in, playing with their coloring books. But other than that, I don't see too much overhaul.
Do you think the NFL would spend a lot of money and maybe go to colored pencils? Or is the idea of asking somebody with a possible concussion to use a pencil sharpener a little too risky?
Yeah, we tried that actually a couple of seasons ago. I don't know if you remember the preseason game where a player actually hid the colored pencil in their pocket and used it as a shank during the game.
Yeah, so that's right. Yeah.
Yeah. We felt that crayons were a little bit more helpful. Markers are too difficult to get off the jerseys. And players were drinking the ink from inside of them after they actually did have a concussion.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. So in the preseason, everybody kind of does their baseline when they are theoretically don't have concussions. And that's when they ask them the questions about the concussion test. Is it possible to do like the Family Guy bit where he got so drunk and then took his picture at the DMV so that when he got pulled over for drunk driving, he looked drunk already? And they thought, oh, this is just how this guy looks. Is it possible that guys were getting concussions in the off season and taking the test, giving answers, knowing what they would give when they had concussions?
Yeah. So we actually, we actually no longer are able to send the players to stay at Marriott because players had been ramming their heads so hard into the wall at each of the Marriott hotels
that
they were creating holes in the wall. So yeah, the Marriott no longer lets us stay there. We're strictly a Best Western league now. Players had taken on pretty early to shoving their head against walls, hitting themselves with hammers, doing the cartoon bit where they jump on a shovel until it hits them in the head.
Oh, classic. It always brings out a laugh. It's a big chuckle.
Exactly. Yeah. So that one is really popular among the younger players, the TikTok generation. But all the players are giving themselves concussions beforehand. And really, there's just absolutely nothing we can do about it.
Perfect. Another thing that's in the news are turf fields causing a lot of ACL injuries. A lot of players think that fake grass is really bad, especially for your knees and ankles. I guess I should start. How hard is it to tear an ACL if you were actively trying to do it? Could it be done?
Well, let me just start by saying that turf fields causing an ACL injury is part of the liberal agenda, and there's no facts behind this. This is strictly the radical left trying to encourage us to use grass fields as part of their climate change initiative, which we all know is a hoax.
Right. Yeah.
So right off the bat, this is radical left propaganda. That being said, if a player wants to go out there and tear their ACL, so be it. You have two of them.
Sure.
That's really the overall medical standpoint from the agreed medical standpoint from the NFL Medical Association, as well as the NFL Players Association.
Perfect. The old adage, rub some dirt on it. Is that the best way to get through a torn ACL? Is literally just rub some dirt in there?
Yeah, it would be, except we keep playing with these turf fields and there's no dirt available. God so damn. The new adage is rub some rubber pellets on them.
Right. Exactly. Mm-hmm. That makes a lot of sense. Let's see. Was there any other doctor news I wanted to ask you about? Oh, I guess Dak Prescott broke his hand throwing a football by slamming it into somebody's other hand, which kind of does imply that you can hurt somebody bad enough to the point with a high five. Should teams practice high-fiving each other really hard in the off season, kind of really building up maybe like a callus across the whole hand so that pain doesn't happen again?
Yeah, actually, from the makers of the Jugs machine, this season we're actually going to unveil it. It's a it is a high-five machine. It's very similar to what you would see in Jackass, just that giant red rubber hand. Players all line up. Like they're going to go, high five the team that they just beat. If they were in Little League baseball, the giant rubber hand comes and smacks it all. And hopefully by next season, everyone will have thick, firm, callous man hands.
Ooh, love a good man hand. Mm-hmm. Let's see. I think that's it for injury news. Is there much you want to talk about for the matchups for this week? It is Tuesday. Waivers haven't come through. We're trying to get the pod out early. I don't know if there's anything. I didn't prepare anything other than the couple of very serious important questions I had to ask you.
I actually prepared a segment really quickly.
Ooh,
in,
lovely.
Like in the 5 minutes that you took from when I said, hey, let's do the pod now, to sending me the link.
Exactly. The best time to prepare for the podcast is in a rush.
So obviously, I only think about medicine now. It's the only thing I have time to think about. I have very little effort to think about football. But so I did include some medicine in this segment. But the sweetheart of college football right now, the Kansas Jayhawks.
Oh, yeah.
All about the Jayhawks right now. Best start in something like 20 years, something like that. They're fun to watch. They're fun to root for. It feels like a little Cinderella story happening. So I went through the Kansas Jayhawks roster, and we're going to play just a quick game called, Kansas Jayhawks defensive secondary or disease.
Ooh, wow. This feels like a very specific game.
Yeah, so I'll give you some names, and I won't include like at the end if it's like syndrome or disease or whatever.
Sure, right.
I'll just give you the names, and then you have to tell me if it's a combination of Kansas Jayhawks defensive secondary players or a disease.
Okay, perfect.
All right. So we can start with Fitzhugh Curtis.
I really wouldn't want to be told I have Fitzhugh Curtis disease. So I'm gonna go player.
Fitzhugh Curtis syndrome is actually adhesions near the liver as a result of a gonorrhea or chlamydia infection.
I'm gonna have to talk to my doctor about that.
Talk to your doctor about Fitzhugh Curtis syndrome. Yep. How about White Schultz Bryant?
Oh boy. That's actually a very tough one. Let's go disease again.
Edwin White Schultz and Kobe Bryant, a safety and a cornerback from the Kansas Jayhawks.
God bless.
All right. What about Dilworth Dabney?
Dabney.
Dilworth Dabney.
Like dabbing with your knee. There's player.
Yep. Brian Dilworth and Shaw Dabney, both cornerbacks for the Kansas Jayhawks.
Dabney.
Mm-hmm.
Goodness. Okay.
All right. What about Russell Silver?
Disease.
Yeah, it's a type of dwarfism. Russell Silver syndrome. Nice. Oof. Are you keeping tabs, by the way? Because I haven't.
Of like how many I'm getting right?
Yeah, because that'd be fun.
I think I'm 1 for 3, it feels like. I think I get two?
I think the last two. Yeah. Oh,
2 for 2. All right, 2 for 2.
Okay.
2 and 2.
Bland White Garland.
That's a trick question. That is a Christmas decoration.
Correct. Yes, I wanted to throw that in because Christmas is the next upcoming holiday. We've skipped right over pumpkin spice season, and we're full on peppermint mocha.
Player?
Bland White Garland syndrome is a malformation of arteries in the heart.
Oof.
Mm-hmm. All right. What about... a couple more. Robinson Purdy Ellis.
Pretty or Perry?
Purdy, P-U-R-D-Y. Robinson Purdy Ellis.
Let's go disease again.
Jaden Robinson, Caleb Purdy, and Mason Ellis, all cornerbacks from the Kansas Jayhawks.
Goodness.
Yeah. What about Dye Jervin?
Player. I don't think he would name a disease Dye, and then because people would die from it. Doesn't sound great.
Yeah, Jalen Dye and Kalen Jervin, both on the Kansas Jayhawks. And then Dandy Walker.
Trick question. That's a set of adjectives you'd use to describe Walker. Is it J.P. Walker? What's the whiskey? Walker's whiskey?
Johnny Walker.
Dandy Walker.
Dandy, I see. I'm picturing Dandy Walker as like the meme of the guy who's like swinging his arms, walking into a, walking into a WWE match.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Vince McMahon. That's a Dandy Walker.
Yeah.
Or if Wacky Dad had a cousin, it would be Dandy Walker.
Yeah. Wacky Dad goes on Dandy Walks. your guess for Dandy Walker.
Player.
Dandy Walker malformation is a malformation of the cerebellum. And that is everyone's favorite game, Kansas Jayhawks defensive secondary or disease.
Okay. Let's very quickly run through some matchups here that are going to change a lot by the time we see each other on Thursday. We'll start with a couple of 1 and 3 teams cutting it up. Mel Kiperbelt Jr., that's Jared, versus Dawson Equinox, that is Pip. Jared's on the road to 5-9. It's going absolutely swimmingly. And Pip has taken 2 tough luck losses in a row. Who do you think wins?
Let me actually just pull up the matchup right now because I didn't even have fantasy open. That's how bad this is going so far. We are going to Dawson Equinox and Mel Kiperbelt Jr. Just kind of going through the rosters. I mean, I think that after the Aaron Jones trade, Pip's team looks a lot better. Like his running backs are pretty solid now, like with Pierce doing pretty well. Last week scored a touchdown, so hopefully he can keep that up. Jared's wide receivers are obviously a lot stronger with Jefferson and Diggs. I think I'm gonna go with Jared on this one. I just think overall he has a little bit more consistency and he has some players that we know are going to perform well. I feel like Pip has that boom or bust potential. Like if Herbert has another like 30 point game and Mark Andrews scores like 2 or 3 touchdowns, I think that'll keep him in it. But I think Jared will have a better chance of just just like maintaining a higher floor.
Okay. I will go Pip because I am rooting for Jared to go 5-9 again. And I think he needs one more loss for me to then start rooting for him to win. Because if you start rooting for him to win too early, then you've really got to root for him to lose. And mm-hmm. I'd rather, you know, let's get the losing out of the way and end your season on a high note here. So I'm going to go with Pip.
Yeah. So when he's 4-9, we can all really just
Exactly.
dig into his team. Yeah. Okay.
Exactly. Next up, we've got Indomicon Supernova. That's Mike taking on Jamar Space. That is Scott. He's 0-4. He slept through the London game. He again has another player in the London game. It's Aaron Rodgers playing on Sunday morning at 6:30. Is Scott's team bad, very bad, or oh God, that's bad?
I think it's just bad. I feel like his pieces should be there, right? Harris should be playing better. You know, first couple of games without Kittle, like that's, you know, if we're doing a snake draft, that's going to be your first round pick. So like right off the bat, he's already losing that like early talent. He probably could have held into the first couple of games if Kittle had played. I don't know if he would necessarily be in an 0-4 spot. I just think Mike's team is significantly better all around. I think his running backs are more consistent. You know, his wide receivers are more consistent. He like very similar to the last matchup. I think he has that like consistency that you need to win a game early on in the season. I don't see this being like a particularly high scoring game. But I think Mike's going to take this one. I think Scott's team isn't terrible. He's just kind of in a rut with some players who are underperforming. And I don't think he should necessarily be 0-4.
Gotcha. Yeah, he had 36 points from TJ Hawkinson, who scored 35% of his points last week and still lost. So that's not very good, especially up against Jordan, who was one of the teams that had the two quarterbacks to score not very many good points. Mike has now lost. Did Mike lose two in a row now? Yeah, Mike's.
I think so. Yeah,
Mike's lost two in a row now. That is with the curse from our listener who texted in on the Good Pods HQ text line saying that Mike's team was probably one of the only really good teams right now. So that's not very good, and another bad take from one of our listeners of the pod. But you can start getting better takes by listening to all of the pods that are available on Good Pods HQ. Good Pods HQ. We've got the Good Pods.
This is going to be such a bummer podcast because last week was so strong. The first like 15 minutes I was listening on my way to work, I'm like, this is maybe the best first 15 minutes of a pod that's ever podded.
We had a really strong start last week. And I don't know. Like this week is going to be weird. And then the next 2 weeks, I'm like not going to be doing the pod. So we're going to get like a fall feud, or maybe no one's hosting. I don't know what we're going to do for the next couple of weeks. So it's going to be very interesting. Somebody might have walked in the door. It's Bree. Okay, we're fine.
I hope so. Hey, Bree.
I have headphones in. Andrew says hi. She has headphones in as well. Andrew says hi. Where is he? He's on the screen there. We're recording.
Hi.
Hello.
For sure.
Oh, my book.
Book's gonna end. I'm gonna go cry for a little bit.
Oh, okay. It's a really good book. Bree went for a walk and is listening
Sam
to
read it. She'll know.
Apparently Sam read the book.
What book?
I don't know. She's listening to a book.
I just read a book that Sam told me to read. It was called Verity.
No, that's a magazine called Variety.
That makes sense why the plot didn't really add up.
Yeah, kind of page by page, everything was very different.
Yeah, I tried to follow. I was going to say it was very very jumbled plot. But I didn't know what to expect going in, and like the cover was like, oh, this is like a, you know, a pulsating thriller, and it's really exciting. And you know, it's very different than this author's other works. Well, apparently the author, Colleen Hoover, writes a lot of like a good third of each of her books is like very steamy sex scenes.
Oh.
And I had no idea. Like I'd never read this author going in. So like I start reading and there's like definitely this like pace of like, oh, this is kind of a psychological thriller. It's going to be really exciting. And then the first sex scene happened. I'm like, okay, that was, you know, that happened. And then it just kind of kept happening. Like the whole book, it turned into like very much like, you know, an erotica novel with like a hint of a hint of mystery, but I was like in too deep at that point. But fellas, if your ladies are reading Conley and Hoover, be warned.
Naughty stuff.
Naughty, naughty books.
The book I got was, the movie The Meg, starring Jason Statham. It's a movie called The Meg, starring Jason Statham. It's about how the bottom of the ocean floor at the Marianas Trench or whatever it is, like in the bottom of the Atlantic Ocean, isn't actually the crust of the earth, but it is a solid wall of carbon dioxide that has sealed off our portion of the ocean from this like secret ocean that's below it,
Ooh.
right? It's a horribly amazing movie that everybody should watch. Jason Statham is spectacular in it. Not only is the movie franchise going to be a quite a large thing, there is also a series of books that it's based on, and there are already seven of them.
Oh, wow.
So I've ordered the first the Meg one, and I'm
Nice.
going to be reading that on a beach in Mexico and probably very mad that I won't have the other six.
Yeah, fair enough. That sounds really interesting, actually.
You should absolutely watch the movie. It's occasionally on like TNT all the time, and you don't really
Okay.
need to know what's going on if you're able to find it.
Sure. I'm like, I can't even begin to picture what. Sorry, hang on, let's make sure that's. I don't think that's Sam. I gotta make sure it's not dinner time.
Oh, well, we are running out of time in our Zoom meeting.
Oh, okay. Like we're actually like, oh, are Zoom
It's
setting our time limit?
threatening. It's threatening me to pay.
Oh,
And
let's bust through
don't want
this.
to do that.
All right.
Yeah. A movie review recommendation of the week. Everybody should watch The Meg. I will
All
tell you
right.
about the book the next time I'm on the pod.
If you're feeling lonely, read Colleen Hoover. What can I tell you?
Next matchup: Fran Starkintyn versus Jupiter Smith Schupiter, a pair of 3-1 teams cutting it up. Brandon took his first loss of the week last week. Jordan has his new look team of TD Henry and Jonathan Taylor, and Pip traded away Jonathan Taylor right before he got hurt, and now he's Jordan's problem. How do we feel about the matchup very quickly?
Probably one of the best running back matchups we're gonna have this week. I think both teams are really strong. Jordan really turned his season around very quickly. It looked like, you know, first 2 weeks he was just gonna struggle for a long time. It's kind of cool to see him at 3-1 and see what he can make of that. I think a lot of pieces still need to fall into place for him. Brandon, yeah, overall really like his team. I think it's strong from top to bottom. You know, no, I guess his, you know, his wide receiver 2 and 3, like not the strongest, but I think overall, like his flex players are a lot better. I think he's got a really solid team with, again, couple of pieces that just need to go right for him. This is going to be an even matchup, but I'm going to give Brandon the nod in a close one.
I will take also Brandon in a close one. I think having Jalen Hurts is going to be a lot better play than Zach Wilson. Shame on Jordan for not starting Marcus, you fool. Next
That
up, we have
bastard.
you. Next up, we have the Kittle Dipper. That's Duncan taking on. Nope, that's Luke who's taking on Duncan. Jeff Saturday. Duncan is 4-0, the last undefeated team in the league, and Luke is 1-3, which is quite a surprise considering his team is loaded up with a lot of very big names. Probably doesn't help that the offense is that he's got like Tyreek had his quarterback go down, and T. Higgins had kind of a tough Thursday. What do we think of this matchup?
I am just kind of skimming players whose names I recognize from listening to the pod, but haven't watched fucking any football this season.
That's fair. Wow, Duncan is projected 132. That is a massive projection.
Yeah, that's a huge
That's a
projection.
big number.
I think that Duncan has the bigger boom players. And then if everything falls into place for him, there's a, especially with Keenan Allen back. There's a big possibility that he could have one of those like monster weeks where, you know, everything's just firing on all cylinders. You know, his stack goes off. You know, all of his wide receivers, you know, score a touchdown. Chubb gets in the end zone 2 or 3 times. I think I think Luke's going to definitely be hurt by Tua going down for Tyreek. You know, Mike Evans has been a monster. So, like, I think that's taking a lot away from Godwin. And then, you know, the split between Damian Harris and Ramondre Stevenson, especially now with, like, a third-string quarterback, like, that'll look a little strange in terms of, like, who's getting the production. Are they going to be able to move the ball the same way they did last week? I think I'm going to take Duncan to go 5-0.
I will take Luke to get the win only because Duncan's third highest projected player right now is Geno Smith, which is another quarterback that he can't play. I don't think that that's going to go well for him. Next up, myself, Colin Capricorn versus Fronik, your son, Lamar's Jackson. Fronik has his namesake, Lamar's Jackson, going up against Yeshua Allen, who is your people's namesake as well. What do we think about this matchup? Should Fronik be required to sit everybody on his team so that my wedding weekend isn't ruined by a bad fantasy loss?
Absolutely. Yeah, I will do that. If he doesn't do that, I'll put him in a timeout.
Perfect. Works yep, for me.
So I'm going to say Rick by you know, whole integer over zero. So Rick by infinity. Strictly because, you know, if Fronik doesn't sit all of his players to help out your wedding weekend, he will lose access to his iPad for 45 minutes and no quesadillas for a week.
Oh, God. Last up, it would be your matchup, Cole Komet versus Justin Jefferson Starship. That's Tim. You are rolling now with the Jared Goff train. Is this going to be another potential quarterback who gets hurt, force the fantasy gods forcing you to play Matt Stafford? Or do you have faith that the Lions, who are probably the most fun team in the NFL, are going to be something worth keeping around and fantasy relevance? You have 2 minutes and 55 seconds.
I mean, yeah, the fantasy gods have not been pleased with my quarterbacks. it's been kind of ridiculous. I would love Jared Goff to stay healthy. Surprisingly, the number five quarterback in fantasy right now. He's just slinging it like a mofo to, you know, Amon-Ra St. Fronik. And then... you know, I think they've just been a really fun, like, throw first team, like, kind of the same idea as, like, when Stafford was there, like, not a great fantasy or not a great, like, NFL quarterback, but, like, for fantasy numbers, he's just putting up, like, insane numbers. So hopefully Jared Goff can stay healthy. You know, I don't hate having Matt Stafford on my bench. Like, he's, you know, not the worst, the worst play if it comes down to it. I think, I don't know if you heard the news, but Tom and Giselle officially getting divorced. That's.
Did you hear the other? This is a very, very veiled report from a guy's girlfriend who follows people on TikTok, who people on TikTok say that Giselle is actually a part of a coven and is a witch and has used witch powers to make Tom Brady so good into his 40s. But she wanted him to retire last year and he didn't. So she now has witch cursed him to being bad.
Is that why Tom Brady looks like what Tua would have looked like in 50 years if he hit his head just a little bit harder?
Yes.
Tom Brady looks like he's dying, and I'm concerned.
Somebody said after that, when he came back from that, like, absence, and there's that really bad photo of him with, like, his chin bones, like, touching behind his spine. Somebody mm-hmm. described it as Tom Brady looks like somebody drew Kevin Bacon from memory.
Yeah, absolutely. That's exactly what he looks like. I think the exciting thing for this matchup is going to be the Jared Goff, Amon-Ra St. Brown stack against the Tom Brady, Mike Evans stack. The winner Ooh. Of that stack wins the game.
Man, you could give me a million years to try and buy into the Lions as a fun offense, and I'm not going to do it.
I'm not going to be able to do it.
They're always going to be the bad, horrible Lions.
Yeah. Probably, but I'm in this season. I'm sold. I have to ride hard on the Lions. I have no choice. It says less than a minute. Should we wrap this up?
I'm kind of just wondering what happens if we keep talking, if it just kicks us out, or if we just...
You know, young rich niggas. You know, so we ain't really never had no old money. We got a whole lot of new money though. Hey! raindrop. Drop top, smoking no cook in the hot pot. Fucking on your bitch, yeah, that. Cooking up dope in the crock pot. We came from nothing to something, nigga. Hey. I don't trust nobody, with your trigger fight. Call up the gang and they come and get yanked. Call me a river, give you a tissue. Bad and bougie, bad. Cooking up dope with a Uzi. My niggas are savage, ruthless. We got 30s and 100 rounds too. My bitch is bad and bougie, bad. Cooking up dope with a Uzi. My niggas are savage, ruthless. Hey. We got 30s and 100 rounds too. All set. Records, get back, it's 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 back, it's